Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Sources, and that you yield to the source that's the higher source. So we live by a choice to be tapped into God's power, which is more powerful than any devil, and that he's able to take us from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. So the first thing is, 1A, is I want to talk about the power of evil. Say, the power of evil. He says, and this is really good in Ephesians 2. In Ephesians 1, it says that Jesus is seated in the heavenly places, far above all rule, power, dominion. Okay, we got that. Chapter 2, verse 1, and he made you alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Turn to your neighbor and say, you were dead. Don't do that. You look like you're still dead. Don't do that. But we all were dead. And sometimes, seriously though, sometimes, like, we need to recognize we all were. You say, well, you know, I don't know. I was living a pretty good life. I was thinking about this one time, and I was thinking, you know, some people could make it in a religion because they got strong willpower. Maybe they're the type A personality that they can just discipline through everything, and they can just work their way, and they can even be good in the world's eyes. But their good doesn't amount to diddly. And the Bible says that all your good deeds are like filthy rags compared to the righteousness of God. And your good deeds can't save you. And I didn't say that I want to talk about two powers, the power of good and evil. I want to talk about the power of God and evil. Because good can't save you. And as good as you can be, it's not going to bring you salvation. But that's one of the biggest lies the devil brings us. If you're only good enough, then you could be saved. If you're only good enough, then you could ask God if you could have eternal life. How ridiculous. So what about people that weren't so good? I went to Oceanside High School, when Oceanside was one of the top 10 crime cities in the world. My hair was down on my waist. I was a drug dealing, partying fool who did all kinds of bad stuff. I didn't even know how to spell fool. I just was F-O. I was just a fool. I did so much stupid stuff and did so much stuff. There's no way that I could have made it in a religious environment and been good enough in the religious world to look like I could be anything. Out of 10 kids, I was like the least likely to get saved and do anything with my life but die. One of my best friends did die. One died of an overdose. Other one went to jail for a long term. But I got saved at 21 years old. So I did die at 21. I died. The fool died. And suddenly, I got a little bit and enough wisdom to figure out that the kingdom of God is wiser than all of the world's wisdom. I'm not putting down education. We should all press to be. And I'm not putting down diligence. We should be diligent. I'm not putting down people that have their lives together. We all should be together. I'm just trying to tell you that if we try to think that in some way, that somehow we can be good enough, we're not going to be good enough. And there's a lot of people that are bound, and they don't just need a pep talk. They need the power of God. So one is the power of evil. 1A is the power of evil. And he tells us in verse 4, he says, but God was rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us. Even while we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Even when we were sinning, he loved us. And he sent his son to die for us while we were still sinners. What a beautiful thing. The grace of God is so powerful. And Jesus, he has a greater power than all the evil. And he has the ability to free us from evil. And he transforms us from the power of darkness into the power of light. So 1B obviously is the power of God. As I was saying, it's not the power of good, it's the power of God. I love in Ephesians 6, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of good. No, in the power, in his might, in the power of God, in his power, in his might. And you put on the whole armor of God. We're able to stand because Emmanuel, God is in us. God is with us. And then he tells us about this spiritual host of wickedness that we're going to be facing in this world. But God equips us to face it. He equips us and he gives us the power, not only for ourselves, but to help others. I love it. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody. There isn't anyone. God looks at even the smallest of sins, and that's enough to separate people from his kingdom. but yet God has the power to translate even the sin is sin. He translates all of us into the kingdom of his son. How powerful. And that he would grant you. I love Ephesians 3, verse 16. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through the spirit in the inner man. How powerful. So God transforms us. The second thing I want to bring to you today is the power to be transformed. So we not only the power to transform, not only are we transformed from darkness to light, but then he gives us the power to transform others, that we get to be distributors of his power, that we're here to help other people. And in 1 Corinthians 1:18, he tells us, he says, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And you say, well, us who are being saved, I was saved. Yes, but we're still being sanctified. It's a continual process that once we're saved, we still go through this sanctification process that we're still working it out. That doesn't mean we're not saved. I'm saved. If I was to die today, I'm saved. But tomorrow morning, I still pray. I try to pray every day. I try to pray, God, cleanse me, wash me. Pray for my kids. I pray that you'd wash them, you'd cleanse them. I pray you release the power of God. I just declare the blood of Jesus, wash me, cleanse me. I want to start the day in God's presence and in God's power. I don't want anything to separate me from being fully engaged in my day. Are you with me? I want to walk in the power of God. I want to be sensitive to hear his voice. And as I was thinking about this, there's this story. How do you know? I come from a family with 10 kids. My mom had 10 kids. And it was kind of comical because, like, when I looked at our pictures, I probably told you this, but, like, a shirt like this, I had in my, like, first grade picture, I have a short sleeve shirt on in my first grade picture. But so does my brother and my other brother and my other brother. It's like, that shirt got passed down, you know, because she got 10 kids. She's got 7 boys. So, like, and it was the church shirt, you know, it's a picture shirt. So we only wore it to picture day. I'm not wearing that thing again, only because mom made me on picture day. You know what I mean? And then, so here's these kids, and they're wearing their church shirt or their church clothes. And sometimes it's only one set that fits you before you already outgrew it. And then we got to find the hand-me-down to find the next one. And, you know, hey, come on, single mom with 10 kids, what's up? Anybody? Hand-me-downs, come on now. And I didn't know it was a hand-me-down because we're clueless. Little boys are like, whatever, it's a shirt. Is that what I have to do? That's what I will do. We just put it on. This is what I got to do today just to make it through the day so we can go do something. And so this little boy's got this shirt. He's got the Sunday stuff on. This is the best clothes. And just like boys, he went outside. It was taking too long to round up everybody. How did my mom get 10 people in the car to go to church plus her? How do you get 10 kids to all... Yeah, we had the station wagon in those days, you know, and everybody's packing in. Where's Danny? It's like, I don't know. He's in the back somewhere. Now it's mini days. But this kid ended up finding a way to fall into the dirt and got all muddy. You know what I mean? Like, he was fighting dragons on the swing. That stick was a sword. He was like, to the thrust into the dragon, went too high. Boom, boom, then got, boom. Anyway, he comes in all muddy. Mom looks at him, and you know mom went off the chart. Mom's ready to blow the circuits for the whole neighborhood. This is your only Sunday clothes. I don't have an answer, but I know, and he knows, I'm in a whole lot of mess. So he whipped out the I'm sorries. I am sorry. I am so sorry. I am so very sorry. He's doing it. I am sorry. And so she's like, okay, all right. She calms down. He's like, whew, saved myself from getting beat in front of everyone else. And then my mom would never beat any of us, but anyway. Tells him, okay, you're sorry. Now go upstairs and get changed and take a shower and get that stuff off you and change your clothes. He's like, no. No? I mean, to take a shower once for a boy in one day, 2 showers in a day, and to change your clothes again, we just roll all day and whatever. It's like, he's like, no. And you know what? That's kind of like us sometimes. We get saved, but we don't want to get cleaned up. We get saved, but we don't want to change. We get dirty, but we don't want to change. Do you think we can take our hell into heaven? Okay, I'm born again, but I want to live like hell. It's in the Bible. I'm going to get dirty, and I want to bring it with me. I'm not saying you have to be perfect and anyone who's not perfect doesn't make. We come in because of Christ and Christ's merit, but how foolish for us to believe in a sloppy gospel that means we can get saved and we can just get sin and walk in sin and carry sin and don't do anything with our sin. And some people want to get saved, but they don't want to get sanctified. Come on, you want to get married, but then you want to wear that shirt with holes in it and those pants forever. You didn't look like that when you were dating me. Come on, let's go on a date, baby. At least change into something that looked like the way when you were trying to hook me. Moving right along. If you're going to get saved, you have to change. The two are inseparable. Actually, changing is a sign of your salvation. It's fruit that you've made a change. You change. True repentance isn't just admitting it. It's actually changing your actions. And they may be subtle changes to get there, but there's still steps in that change. When they're real little, they get away with more. But you don't have a 13-year-old throwing his peas against the wall now, do you, Pia? No, man, you'd be like, not in my household. 2-year-old maybe, but not 13. We got to grow up in him. And God gives us the power to be transformed. So we're saying, we're acting like we don't have the power to change. That's just me. That's the way I am. Uh-uh. No, he's transforming us by his power. His power is not limited. His power is not... God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. God's power is unlimited. We're the limited ones. But we get to put a little bit of his unlimited on this limited. We get to put his super on this natural. We get to be more than conquerors based on what he did, not what we did. Thank God. Somebody say amen to that one. Because I would have been sunk. You know, and you think about it and you think, well, you know, I don't really need to change. Okay, look at Jesus' prayer in Matthew 6. He tells them, this is how I want you to pray. If we're supposed to pray this daily, just think if he'd reveal something in a prayer he wants us to pray daily. Our Father in art in heaven. Everyone agrees on that one. Hallowed be your name. Oh, all across denominational lines. We're still good. Everybody's in the game. Your kingdom come. We're right there. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I heard a guy once tell me that. On earth as it is in heaven. That doesn't really mean God wants to heal today. It really means God doesn't want to do this today. And it was just an excuse not to really want to change to have a little bit of heaven on earth. But how about can we bring a little heaven to earth? Aren't we his body on this planet? Aren't we supposed to represent him? How many of you know some of you are the closest people that are going to get to heaven on earth? Put it in context. I'm saying you're about the closest thing to God because they're coming in contact with you and they're not going anywhere else where they're connecting with God. You're God's body. You're his ambassador. You're his representative. So we get to bring God to people. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm trying to encourage you to say, you really have more than what you think. You got it going more than what you know. And God is ready. I love the Amplified, Luke 11:2-4 in the Amplified. He said, when you pray, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, held holy and revered on earth as it is in heaven. He's telling us we get to bring it here on earth. And he tells us, bring us not into temptation, but rescue us from evil. Can I tell you that some of you, you're here and you're going to rescue people from evil. Everybody wants to align with the Marvel and the superhero. Well, you get to be a spiritual superhero and you get to help rescue people from evil. You say, well, I don't really have that skills. Can you tell somebody, come on to church with me? And let them come into the power and the presence of God. Because you come into church and you come in the power and presence of God, there's a team all around you. So you may say, that's not my superpower. I'm hanging with a bunch of superpower. And you got these, what are all those different characters that all come together when they... Yeah, the Avengers. And they all have different powers. Some of those powers, I don't know if I'd want that superpower, but just saying, you know. Like, anyway, but just saying. But there's people here on a team that have things that you don't. Just like the electricity comes in different currents, and if you put a 220 that goes to your electric dryer, if you have one, or to your electric stove, you put that to some devices, it's going to fry your device. And there's different people that run at different levels. But you can bring them around and still let them get the kingdom of God. Are you with me? I love to worship at home, but when I come here, the worship was off the charts today. It was awesome. So I love worship, but I love corporate worship. Because when I come here, we all plug in together. It's like supercharge. I feel like the hair's going back. You know that commercial, and they're just like, I love the presence of God, and I do my personal devotion. I sit out there, and, you know, I do my thing in the morning, and that's awesome. But I love coming in the midst of all of you because there's something I get in the midst of corporate worship. And when we forget that, then we're limiting ourselves to us instead of to what God does, even in a corporate sense. So we see there's two sources of power, and we see that God's given us this power to transform us, and that our transformation and the power he gives us has a purpose to help others, which is number three, is the power to share. In Luke 4, Jesus, it says, Luke 4:14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went throughout the surrounding regions. Jesus came in the power of the Spirit, and news went to the regions. So when everybody keeps trying to tell you, turn it down, people said, you're born again. Well, as you grow, Dan O'Dash, as you grow in Christian life, you won't be so zealous. Baloney. How about the power works even greater in his life? How about his children? Look at his daughter rocking the anointing. It doesn't decrease. We don't. Are we going to tell that to your kid? You know, oh, you love God a lot, but just like tone it down. It'll go away someday. Who would say that? You know, you're a champion now on the ball field, but you know, by next inning, you'll probably won't get any. You know, you won't hit the ball again, and it's just you're going to get old. Who would counsel like that? People who are already lukewarm, who are already setting a mark. I'm sorry if you had the speech. I'm not trying to convict you. I'm just saying I got that speech. You'll calm down. You'll whatever. And I was like, no, how about we open the throttle even more? I want to change the world. I've done things in places that I can't even believe that I was there. Thank you, somebody. Can we praise God for that? It's not us. God's looking for somebody who will go there. One time I had a dream of this bear way out in the backwoods on this river, and he's like catching a fish with his mouth. Whoa. And I'm like, that was cool, grizzly. I love that. I'd love to go hiking there someday, something. And he said, no, get out of your flesh. What I'm trying to show you, because I love the outdoors, he's saying, I'm showing you that you'll be the one who would dare to be the bear that would go where no one else will go to catch a harvest. And I'm thinking, I like that. We took backpacks over river into Mozambique to the bush to people that don't have a road to their place. And we ministered to a place where they don't have any, there's no trash around because there's no trash because they eat off the land. These are the farmers, these are the hunters, these are this, these are that, and they all live in a community. That was awesome to go there and to preach the gospel someplace. What a privilege to go where other people won't go. Some people say, no, that's for somebody else. That's not a privilege. That's cool, but you can sow towards that and send missions teams. We're sending over 70-something people out into the world somewhere to visit multiple nations this year and to impact. But someone's got to go. Right. Are you here? Right. And God gave us the power to share. He gave us this power so we can give it away. And the lie of the world is that I don't want to give anything away because I won't have enough. In God's world, it's exactly in his kingdom, it's opposite. The more you give, the more he'll give to you. If you let the power come into you and through you, the more will come to you. And the minute you stop and become stagnant, he stops pouring it in because he doesn't want you to just... So we've got to be those who are ready to share. And Jesus was ready to share. Jesus came in the power. And then it says in that passage, Luke 4, famous passage, and Jesus is preaching, and he says, because he has anointed me, in verse 18, Luke 4:18, he says, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel. Most churches preach the gospel. Awesome. But preach the gospel to the poor. Well, not exactly a lot of poor people that we preach to, but we're hoping they get it somehow. How about we preach to the poor? How about we do both? How about we preach? Jesus preached the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, okay? To proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. Isn't that awesome that we've seen blind eyes healed? You know, last year's missions trips, there was like over a dozen deaf ears healed. You see people healed, backs, miracles, shoulders, you know, eczema. People's flat feet became arched, cancer's healed. I mean, you could just go through a list. If you asked everyone here, who's prayed for someone who's received a miracle or you received a miracle? Raise your hand. You received it or you've prayed for someone. If you're sitting here and you say, well, I don't think it's real. Don't believe me. Look at everyone around here. Because they're living the Bible. The Bible's real and that gospel's real and he really wants to use you and you can't just cut yourself out of the story. You can't say that's for someone else. I was thinking of this story and it's a true story. This missionary's in South Africa, I'm not South Africa, South America, And he's in South America, and these poor orphan kids are playing the marbles, and so he's watching their marble game. Do you guys ever play marbles? You know, you try to thunk the other marbles out of a circle, you know, and you get them and all that. And this guy's, they're playing marbles, and he's watching their marble game, and all of a sudden one of the marbles is glistening in the sunlight, and he looked, and he's like, wow, that's a pretty shiny marble. That doesn't look like a marble. He looks down, they're diamonds. They're playing marbles with big old hunkin' diamonds. Now, wait a minute. I'm poor, I'm going to bed hungry, I have literally like nothing, and he only just my diamond, the smallest one that they keep knocking me out of the circle with, is enough to feed me, my family, and the entire village for a long time. But isn't that how we are sometimes? We have this valuable thing that was in our hands and we don't even know the value of what we have. And there's people that are hungry around us that are waiting for us to get a hold of what we have, waiting for us to catch the value of what we have so we can share it. What you have is so powerful. What you have is so powerful. You say, well, I don't really know that much of the Bible. I know I've told this story before, but there was a girl, all she got born again, and all she knew was John 3:16. And she goes to the door of an Ivy League professor, and she's preaching, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he's like, yeah, but what about this, and what about that, and what about the universe, and what about the age of the earth, and what about fossil, and what about this? And she said, all I know is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the guy got saved. She only knew one scripture. And he got saved because she really knew that God so loved. And the love of God came through and busted all of his arguments away. And he got saved. He got born again of someone who knew one scripture. Do you know more than one scripture? Most of you are more, you know more Bible than a lot of pastors in a lot of these nations that we go to. I know with the information age, it's releasing things all over, but there's a lot of people that are ministering with way less. I was thinking about this and I felt challenged by God when God just said, what if one of those kids playing with those marble diamonds was my kid? What would he do with it when he found out it was a diamond? Maybe that kid over there, he's not my kid. He'd just hold it and want to keep it. He'd want to show everyone but never do anything with it. My kid would want to share it. My kid would want to take the value and try to share it with other people. Are we his kids? Would we be the kids that want to take it and then bless other people with it? It's like, what are we doing with what we have? It's a lot of times we don't realize what we really have. You know, I've said this to you, and sometimes you just, I don't think you get it, and maybe you've not been to some third world nations, but if you have more than two pairs of shoes, you are rich in the world's eyes, because the majority of the world doesn't have one pair of shoes. They're barefoot. I'm not guilting you. I'm saying perspective. We have something to give, and there's people out here that are around us. Jesus just met needs. He went and someone was sick and he healed them. They needed food and he multiplied the food and gave them bread. Don't focus on the multiplication of the food. He met a need. He fed them. We feed people in the parking lot. We feed people in the ministry here twice a month. Why don't you come help distribute the food? We're feeding them. Come help them. If you need food, come here. Every 2 weeks we give out food. Every second and fourth Tuesday. Second and fourth Tuesday. You can come here and distribute food to people that are hungry and hurting. You could, there's all kinds of stuff and ways that we can share. We need to share. And we need to be the people who are knowing not only what we have in our hand, but that we're just looking for a simple need. Sometimes somebody's hurting and they just want someone to care. Just love on them and walk them through. Just be their friend through a time period. When I was born again, I got born again, but I didn't know anything and I didn't know anybody. All I knew is I didn't want to go to hell. I got born again by myself in the kitchen, bawling, stuff coming out of every place it could come out. I was just like a mess, but I got rocked. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Me and Jesus had an encounter as I was sitting there in my kitchen, and I was just like rocked, and I got saved, and I was born again, and then I didn't know what to do. I'm like in a drug culture. I didn't know what to do, but I didn't want to do these things, but I didn't know anything. I didn't know Bible. I didn't know church. I didn't know Christians. Do you know how valuable it was to have a friend that just didn't want to party and use me? I remember thinking, I was a drug dealer. Everyone wanted what I had. They wanted to hang out with me because I always had the best stuff, because I always had money. I had money, I had things. But now all of a sudden I'm with Christians and I don't have money because I didn't deal drugs anymore and I didn't do all those things. And now I'm a construction worker and it's raining and I have no money and I don't have anything. And they're saying, I'll buy your meal for you. And I said, man, I'll pay you back. And they said, no, you can't pay me back. I'm giving it to you. And I thought, who gives somebody without a payback? Because I didn't have people that get, I was witnessing love through simple things. We went to the movies and the guy just said, you can't pay me back. Only way I'll buy your tickets if you can't pay me back. And I thought, this Christian love thing is blowing my mind. I was raised like you tough it out, you scrap for everything. And if I'm going to hand you this, you're going to hand me back because someday I'm going to need it. I didn't understand love. Love shifted me. It made me look at Christians and I thought, these Christians have something. Even though everything was weird to me, I thought, they're weird. But it was weird. The whole culture was weird. It was weird, but it was like, they had something. And I wanted that love. You have something. You have diamonds. You have the kingdom. And he said, I'm the light of the world, and now he's in you, and you shine. And the devil always is trying to tell you, you have nothing to give. You have everything to give. Love, the epitome of love is in you. He's in you. You say, I don't know how to love. Yes, you do. He's in you. He'll teach you to love. You'll receive it, and then you can give it the same way. Every time you read it, and you read the gospel, what he did, you just do what he did. It's so beautiful. Would you stand with me today? I believe. Oh, I just keep seeing Father God looking down at his kids. And if you're here and you don't know him, I want you to come to him. I want you to have eternal life because I want you to walk out of here. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:11 and 12, it tells you, these things were written so that you may know you have eternal life. You can know you are going to heaven. You can know. I walked through years of religion and never knew anything. It was a gamble. If I would have died, could have died so many times before I was born again. If I had died, I would not have gone to heaven because I really didn't know him. I just played the religious act. But the Bible says you can know. You can be born again. You can know you're going to heaven. And he says, he who has a son has life. It's that simple. That when you ask him to forgive your sins, he comes inside of you, he promises, and he says, I'll come in, I'll be with you, and I'll never leave you and never forsake you. If that was all, if that's all I had was a dad who would never leave me, never forsake me, if all I had was a love from a papa who would never beat me, never abuse me, if all I had was somebody who loved me with unconditional love, no matter how and what I didn't have. If that's all, it was worth it. It was like, I want his love. And I'm asking you today, if you don't know, don't walk out these doors with all these people who have this treasure that we found in Christ. Don't walk out the doors without that treasure in your life. I want to ask you, if you're here and you don't know you're going to heaven, would you just bow your heads all around the room? I'm sorry, I'm emotional. I keep feeling the heart of God as a father would look at his child. If my child was in the dirt playing with diamonds, I'd be like, would you please cash it in and get out of this? Jesus preached to the poor, but he preached to the poor so they could become prosperous. God takes us from poverty and he releases us to be prosperous and blessed. He takes us from orphans and he makes us sons and daughters. He translates us from darkness into light. That's the God we serve, and that's the power that's waiting for us, that's available to us. And it starts with us just saying, forgive my sins. And I believe in the cross. I believe Jesus died for my sins. And I want to ask you, if you're here and you say, I want to know that I'm going to heaven and I need that. I don't know. If you don't know for sure and you've never confessed it, the Bible says if you confess, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you need to confess it. So I'm asking you today, if that's you, would you just look at me and raise your hand and say, I want it today. I'm not leaving this place without knowing that I'm going to heaven. I want to go to heaven. It's not about how good you are. It's about how good he was and what he did for you to purchase your eternal life on that cross. But if you believe in that cross, you can say, yes, I'm going to receive that today. That's me. Amen. Amen. And if you're here and you just say, you know, I have it, but I'm going to tap into something that's different. I'm going to cash mine in, and I'm going to take every opportunity I have to meet the needs around me. I'm not asking you to become a preacher, an evangelist, a teacher, this prophet or an apostle or somebody prominent. I'm asking you, would you meet needs around you? Would you just look at somebody and meet a need? Jesus just fed people. He just fed them because they were hungry. He took a kid's lunch and multiplied it. We're all stuck on the miracle. Jesus fed people. Jesus just loved on people where nobody was there to lift them up and take them into the water. He's like, I'm just going to love him and heal this guy and show him that I'm here. God's here. I just want to pray for you. If you just lift a hand towards heaven and just say this prayer with me and say, Father, forgive my sins. Everyone, just say, forgive my sins. I receive forgiveness today. I receive your power today. Now just listen. He says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Would you stay tapped into the power and the life of God? Would you not forsake it? Sometimes some people, the Hebrews tells us, don't forsake the assembling of the saints. It doesn't give me a notch on my belt that you showed up at church. It gives me a notch when I know that you've been empowered to do what God called you to do. A coach wants to see them successful as they go out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I want to see you be trained to do what God's called you to do all of your life, not just here, but this is training. I pray that you wouldn't forsake the assembly. I pray you'd connect to his power. I pray you'd never listen to the lie that you're not valuable or what you have is not important. I pray you'd never buy into the lie that you have nothing to give. You have something to give. And I pray that you'd be released into that in a miraculous way. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give him just an acknowledgement if you got something good?
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.